message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
We are gathered today around to your word to be taught, to be led, to be instructed in righteousness. We receive your word with meekness and we set apart every superfluity of naughtiness. And we declare that the truth we're going to hear today, we're not going to act beside ourselves. We're going to bear it in heart and we'll bring forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name. And the church will say a big amen. Amen. All right, we want to welcome our online audience worshiping with us. Thank you for tuning in. We believe you'll be blessed joining us today. Glory to God. All right, we began a new series this month titled The Faith Book of Records. And you see, this title is a throw-along concept with Guinness Book of Records that everybody is aware of or knows about. So that tells us that the world has a reference book where they record the daunting achievement of men. Newsflash, God has one too. We call it the Faith Book of Records. That means there are actions and deeds of faith that we do that is consistent with the advancement of God's salvation plan for mankind. So in the book of Hebrews 11, for example, you see the Bible tells us that in verse 1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But wait a minute, we need to clarify things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for what? The context tells us that the hope was for the promise of salvation. But verse 13 tells us that these all died, not receiving the promise, but they were persuaded of it. They saw it from afar. They embraced it. They were persuaded of them. So that means these folks, their actions were written against them in God's book of record, and it is recorded as faith, because faith simply means anything you do that substantiates your hope. And since their hope for eternal salvation, their hope of the promise of salvation is what they are expecting, all that they did consonant to seeing that become a reality is what is recorded for them. So they were hoping for salvation. Abraham sojourned. Abel gave. Moses, when he was come of age, the Bible says he refused to be called the son of, you know, Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with God's people. So all those deeds of faith that they did was recorded for them in God's faith book of records. So we call it, some people call it the all fame of faith, Hebrews 11. All their actions. So the same yardstick works for us today. God's yardstick for counting your action, your deeds of faith as faith indeed is to the degree in which it is consistent with the propagation of God's salvation plan. I've said this before and I will say it a billion more times, that God is God-centered. He has just one goal, one purpose, one desire for man, salvation. You are relevant to God to the degree in which you condone your activity, you condone your life to the propagation of his establishment of his salvation plan for mankind. And this is all we're talking about. So there are so many great men that we have seen in the scripture that has been mentioned. But will it amaze you as well that there have been many great men in the world that have lived on the surface of this world according to the world's calculation of greatness. But they didn't make it to God's faith book. Why? Because God has a yardstick. And his yardstick is salvation. So how then do I, you know, plug myself into God's salvation plan, God's will for mankind? It's simple. I just told you that his desire is that all men be saved. So, when you read the word of God, all right, and if you are given the opportunity, for example, to rewrite the story of David, for instance, some of you, obviously, you are going to have to write some amazing things about David. If I tell everybody here to tell us, you know, to write a story about David, I'm very sure many of you will write, all right, the Goliath that he killed. Come on, talk to me. How that he killed Goliath. You're going to write about how that he went for, was it 200 men, he went to remove their foreskin to get the king's daughter. You're going to talk about how that, you know, he played harp, sang beautiful music and drove out evil spirits from Saul. Come on, talk to me. You cannot say so many things about David. But you get a rude shock when you read the New Testament. They were gisting about David in the New Testament for 60 times it was referenced and mentioned. Yet, nothing was said about the Goliath he killed. Nothing was said about the harp he could play. Nothing was said about his beautiful administrative prowess as the PA to the president. Nothing was said about that. The only thing that was said about David were the prophetic utterances he spoke in the intelligence of God about the salvation plan. Come on. That means the things that David said concerning salvation were what made all other things he did worthwhile. So your going to school will only make sense to the degree in which it has affected the plan of God for mankind, which is salvation. Your making money will be relevant to God to the degree in which it is relevant to God's salvation plan. God's salvation plan is the yardstick for measuring greatness. You are great and relevant to God to the degree in which your life supports His plan. His plan is His plan. His plan is the blessed plan. You can only be as much blessed to the degree in which you align to the plan that is blessed. There is no any other blessing somewhere else apart from being blessed by aligning yourself with the plan of God. And He has just one plan. The salvation of one man. The salvation of mankind, beg your pardon. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. Look at what He said about David in the book of Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 36. Oh, I love this. I love it in the Amplified Version. King James says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was led unto his fathers and saw corruption." Amplified Version says, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was buried among his fathers." I want to read to you from the Amplified Classic. He says, "For David, after he had served God's will and purpose and counsel in his own generation," brothers and sisters, you must serve the counsel and the will of God in your generation. He says, David, after he had served God's will and purpose and counsel in his own generation, fell asleep and in death, and he was buried among his fathers. After he has served God's will and purpose, there is a purpose for you on earth. You see, this afternoon, this second service, beg your pardon, I want to talk about purpose. And I know this is one of the most, you know, quote and unquote now, misconstrued topic in Christianity. And there are a lot of books out there in the world that you read about purpose that will get you more confused. Let me just do a simple, you know, poll. How many of you have read books on purpose and you got more confused? Let me see your hands up. Can you see? You got more confused. Why? Because you see, a lot of people don't even understand what purpose is. A lot of authors don't know what purpose is. By simple definition, right? Purpose is a reason why a thing exists. Very simple, straight to the point. Purpose is a reason why a thing exists. It defines the reason. It answers the question of why. To what end? So, that tells us immediately that the concept of purpose therefore posits a creator with an expectation from his creation in respect to the reason why he created the creation. Come on now. The concept of purpose already proceeds immediately, therefore, because if we say purpose is the reason why a thing exists, then the concept of purpose therefore proceeds to us now the existence of a creator with the expectation from the creation with respect to his expectation from the creation. Come on now. That therefore tells us that purpose therefore couldn't have been determined by the proposed. Purpose could only have been what? Discovered by the proposed. Therefore, purpose is not determined. Purpose is discovered. Now, this is the simple logic of purpose. That since we have defined purpose to mean the reason why a thing exists, and we have also said that that concept therefore proceeds a creator, the existence of a creator who created creation and expected some outcome from that creation and would judge that creation based on the intent for which he made that creation, then that also tells us immediately that that proposed must therefore be purposeful in the realm of the creator. Did I lose you? Whatever you have embraced to be purpose must be relevant in the realm of your creator. It therefore means that being a doctor or an engineer can't be your purpose, because it is not relevant in the realm of the one who made you. Listen, the creator created the creation. The creation was created because of an intent of the creator to fulfill a purpose. The purpose, therefore, for which the creator created the creation must be relevant in the realm of that creator. The creator is a spirit and he has a plan of salvation. Therefore, whatever you have embraced to be purpose for your life must be relevant to the propagation of his own plan for which cause he created you. This is the simplicity of purpose. That you can be. Am I saying you shouldn't be an engineer? No. Am I saying you shouldn't be a doctor? No. But you see, you can live purposeful. And living purposeful simply means doing all you do and making the purpose of God the epicenter. That's how to live purposeful. Hallelujah. Look at it. Matthew 1 and verse 21. Look at what the Bible says. You know, Jesus is God in the flesh, right? And look at the definition of Jesus to us in Matthew 1:21. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name," what? "Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Purpose defined. Let's go. 23. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name," what? So Jesus is Emmanuel. And we've been told that Jesus, the word Jesus is Jehovah Shua. Jehovah saves, God saves. In other words, salvation. That means the grandest thing to know about Jesus, who is Emmanuel. This same Jesus is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means, by the way, if you are bearing Emmanuel, you're not supposed to be bearing it. It's a wrong name. Only one person could have bear it. But you can manage. Just put Emmanuel Junior. Hallelujah. Emmanuel means Emmanuel. Iman means with us. Hell, E-L, means God. Like, my name is Elijah. El-Jah. Hell, God. Jah, Jehovah. Jehovah is my God. Do you understand? Hell, Hebrew, God. Emmanuel, Iman. Iman, hell. Iman, hell. Hell is God. Iman, with us. With us is God. God is with us in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. That Jesus has been told us in verse 21 that he is salvation. Therefore, God is salvation. So you can only walk in purpose to the degree in which you are supporting God's salvation plan for mankind. Therefore, your purpose can't be to be a business mogul. Because if your purpose was the reason why you were created, therefore we can say purpose existed before you. Therefore, if purpose existed before you, and the one who conceived purpose is eternal in nature, therefore your purpose must still be relevant even when you are no more. And if being a doctor no longer become relevant after you are dead physically, it therefore ceases to be your purpose. This is the logic of purpose. That which you have embraced as purpose must be relevant since it was before you. It was the intent that gave birth to you. That same reason must continue even after you left. And it must also be relevant to the realm of the one who created you. Otherwise, it is not purpose. Therefore, purpose is spiritual. That's where I'm going. Because it was intended by a spiritual God. Am I trying to get in your way of having the good things of life or being or pursuing your natural dream? 1,000 times no. But you see, like I said, you can do all of the natural things and be purposeful with it. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Abraham was not the first person to sojourn. Rahab was not the first harlot to hide spies. Come on, talk to me. But those actions of theirs were recorded in God's book of record because they were consistent with God's salvation plan. Therefore, all of your activity on earth will only be relevant in the realm of God because the only language God speaks in the immortal is salvation. The only language he speaks, the only thing he knows is salvation. God is salvation. You're looking for salvation? Look at God. So, if that is his language, if that is his intent, if that is his will, I've told people, ask questions, Lord, I want to ask if I'm in the will of God. Can I be honest with you? See, there are some Christianese and some spiritual hocus pocus and, you know, mysterious things that people have mystified. I can demystify it to you. It's simple. Am I in the will of God? Oh God, I want to fast. Listen, let me tell you something. On a generic level, it is very simple to know the will of God. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4, this is the will of God. It will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So you are walking in the will of God to the degree in which that which you are doing supports the salvation of men and their establishment in the truth. So you can therefore do a daily assessment, a weekly assessment, a monthly assessment, a yearly assessment of how much of the will of God you have been conformed to by simply looking at the graph of your life and drawing it in consonance to the will of God, which is salvation of mankind and their establishment in the truth. So how is that which I'm doing daily support salvation of men? Am I reaching out? Is the money I'm making, am I supporting missionaries? This is a missionary church. I was sent forth here and I'll soon be sent away soon to become a visiting preacher. And you have to enjoy me now as much as you can. And I'm taking some of you with me. And some of you are joining me in Zambia. We are going to Somalia. We are going to Sokoto. We are going to Gombe. We are going to New York. Atlanta. Why is your amen louder than Atlanta? Glory to God. Just kidding anyway. All over the world, we're taking the gospel. Say loud amen. Amen. That's our purpose. So, let me just say a few things about what purpose is not. And it is going to be a rude shock to some. And I know I thought this 3 years ago, 2 years ago. I thought it last year. I teach it almost every year. All right. What purpose is not? You know, I learned this from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin of Blessed Memory. Brother Kenneth Hagin says, a good way to know what a thing is by first knowing what it is not. So, number one, purpose is not determined but discovered. Purpose is not determined but discovered. We have defined purpose as the reason why a thing exists. And we have told us that, listen, that concept in itself proceeds that there is the existence of a creator who created the creation with an expectation from that creation. And that creation will be judged based on the initial intent he had, which was the reason why he created the creation. Come on, talk to me. It therefore can't be possible for that creation to determine its own purpose. Computer does not just start asking himself, why was it created? The creator created it for that purpose. He just started existing and found itself computing. This microphone, all right, did not just occur and begin to find out why it was existing. The manufacturer already had in mind the intent of the microphone. The microphone just came to be and it's beginning to amplify my voice. Come on, talk to me. So the purpose does not determine its purpose. The purpose discovers it because the purpose of the proposed existed before the proposed. The proposed only came to discover the purpose. Come on. This building came to existence, physically speaking, but it first was in the existence in the realm of thoughts of the engineer. The engineer, therefore, is not surprised to see it. Come on. So the building will not just say, okay, let me start finding out what I am. Maybe am I a car? The building can't be saying, I think I choose to be a car. Mm-mm. You were made to be a building that people can sit in the hall like this. Therefore, abuse is inevitable when the purpose of a thing is unknown. A lot of people are abusing themselves because they are not working in purpose. It's like sweeping with broom, which is what it's meant for, and compare it with sweeping with spoon. You are abusing that spoon. So a believer is abusing themselves when they don't walk in purpose. So the number one thing you have to know about the purpose. So because I know there is this popular thing out now in the world, especially in the social media world, saying I'm sanguine, I'm melancholy. That one is even still mild. I'm Sagittarius, Capricorn. All those nonsense. Look. You can't discover with flesh. One. Two. The discovery of you is in the Word of God. And it must be consistent with the Creator. And the Creator is known by one thing, or with one thing, salvation. Anything you know about God outside the perimeter of salvation is false. I come again. Anything you know about God outside the confines, the perimeter of salvation is false. Somebody say, but God makes rich. Salvation is not rich. If somebody can promise to save you eternally, don't you think he can sustain you financially? The less is included in the bigger. A God who intends to give you immortality should be ready to heal you. Come on. It's like saying, I want to buy you a limousine, but I don't have the money to buy you machine, motorcycle. It's like saying, I'm buying you 3 Jeeps, but I don't have the money to buy you bicycle. Come on, talk to me. The very singular fact that I'm intending to give you Jeeps is already a proof that I can buy you bicycle. A God who has promised you immortality. The Bible says that, look, we shall be changed in the twinkle of an eye. At the shout of the trumpet, all right, with the cry of an archangel, we shall be changed. Paul says in the twinkle of an eye. What is the time duration for twinkle of an eye? Paul was using that because that was the best technology he could use in his day. If Paul was in our day, he would have said at the speed of light. Will just be changed. If God promises you a new body, do you know that body will never die again? That body will never feel sick. How easy, therefore, should it be to believe that same God can heal you right now? Guess what? He has healed you right now. If you came here with any ailment, be healed in your body. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So the less is included in the greater. Now, if that is true, then it means that we have to discover purpose. And we've told you in this church that we are here to reach the unreached, church the unchurched, and do what? Equip the saints for purposeful living. That's our mission. Purposeful living. Purposeful living. So that's number one point you have to know about purpose. Purpose is not determined. It is what? Discovered. All right. Number two. Purpose is not unique. I know I've said this before. I've taught you this before 3 years ago, 2 years ago, last year. I teach it every year. Purpose is not unique. See, the logic that explains to us that all phones are made for making and receiving calls. Come on, talk to me. The same logic explains that there can only therefore be only one purpose for all mankind. Simple logic. If you did logic in philosophy, that's simple. The phones in Bangladesh, Turkey, the phone in Sokoto, the phone in Oyo, the phone in Delta, the phone in China, however it looks, irrespective of the extra curricular features, it has one purpose. All human beings, slim, fat, busty, short, tall, notwithstanding, mongoloid, caucasoid, negroid, notwithstanding, black, white, blue, red, notwithstanding, all human beings, therefore, can only have one purpose because they have one creator. Purpose, therefore, is not unique. A phone, Motorola cannot say, do they still do Motorola? Forgive me. Samsung, for example, can say, may I have a different purpose from Apple? Oga, if we put SIM card inside you, will it ring? Oga, if we call you, will you be able to pick up? Can you make calls with it? Come on, talk to me. That's purpose of phone and set. That logic also explains the purpose of man. We all have, on a generic level, a unified purpose. There's a unity of purpose for all mankind. Somebody say, really? Yeah. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, give it to me. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According, come on, give it to me. According as he has chosen us in him. Pay attention. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having what? Predestinated. Now, in English, pre is a prefix. Destinated is the past tense of destiny. So, the real operative word there is what? Destiny. Come and change my destiny today. Destiny changer, destiny changer. It's not a song a believer should sing. Because when you came into Christ, you have come into destiny. He says, he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Oh, so God's predestination for mankind, God's purpose for mankind is to be adopted as children by Christ Jesus. And how do you do that? Salvation. All this thing is about salvation. It's like everything is salvation, salvation, salvation. Okay, everything is salvation. Me, I just want God. You want God? Salvation. No, I just want God, God. Oga, Jesus is God in the flesh. What is the meaning of Jesus? Salvation. Jehovah Shua. He saves. Salvation. Yeshua. Salvation. And are we now saying that God, how about other things of life like me passing my exam? I've just told you. Salvation. The less is included in the greater. A God that wants to save you to the uttermost. Don't you think he wants to save you from UTME, Jam Board, University Board, PhD thesis? Don't you think he wants to save you also? Listen, think. See, it's a system of thinking. It's a system of thinking. Hallelujah. So purpose is not unique. Purpose is generic. Somebody say, how about if somebody is an evangelist, that person is a pastor? That's the point. We have different assignments. Listen to this. Pay attention to this. God has one purpose, that all mankind be adopted into sonship through Christ Jesus. Now, when we get adopted by Christ into the fold, we become members of the body. Now, as members, we are members in particular, having specific purpose for the corporate benefits of the body to further its purpose of bringing more people into the body. Still salvation. You didn't get it. I don't know if you got it. Should I come again? Let me come again. God's purpose for mankind is that they will be adopted into sonship. Nobody is born as a child of God naturally. There is one philosopher, a funny preacher, I don't want to call his name now, that said he was born again from his womb. He's not scriptural. There's nothing like born again from the womb. Nobody is born again from the womb. So, men were born natural. You now have to hear the gospel. There is a system in the spirit for salvation to occur. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not heard? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must call upon him. And how do you call? You have to first hear. And how do you hear? Somebody has to preach. And how does the person have to preach? He has to be sent. So now salvation is God's purpose for all mankind. He wants all men to be adopted by Jesus into sonship. The word adopted, don't start thinking of adoption in our nowadays parlance. The word adoption simply means placement into sonship. It's not the nowadays parlance use of adoption where you go and have a baby that is not yours, you go to motherless baby home. That's not what I'm talking about. So God's purpose for mankind is that they should become children by Jesus Christ through salvation. Now when you become a child of God, you now become a vital member of the body. Are you hearing me? Now as a vital member of the body, I'm talking metaphorically now, you could be leg, you could be eye, you could be nose. You are now functioning specifically for the purpose, for the corporate benefit of the whole body. To keep the body healthy enough, strong enough to still carry out its purpose of what? Bringing more men into the body. Come on. So, let me give you an instance. Think like this. You have to reach out to somebody and preach the gospel. Your mouth speaks. Your eyes read the Bible. Your mind thinks. Your leg carries you there. They are all functioning to bring somebody in, right? But in the scheme of things, in the bigger picture, you were the leg. That is the analogy Paul was using. You see, these are just for explanation purpose. So therefore, purpose is not unique. Hallelujah. That's why Apostle Paul told the church in Corinth. He says, can the eye say, I don't need the nose? Can the nose say, I don't need the hand? He says, no, we are members in particular. We are one body, but we are many members. I don't know if you have seen nose on the road to Abuja. You saw just only nose walking. What would you do if you see it? You japa. I don't know if you have seen teeth, the dentitions just moving on the road. It's not possible. So we all need, the teeth need the eye need the nose. Let me ask you, the nose, and the eye, which one is more important? Come on, talk to me. Are you sure? Both of them are important. But which one is more important? Some people are mentioning nose, some are mentioning eye. None is more important. Because you cannot compare two things who are in their class. Come on. You can't compare two people. You can't. That's why they comparing themselves with themselves. The Bible says they are what? They are not wise. It didn't say you're wise. You know, wise. That's what Paul says. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 8:29. Just to buttress, corroborate what I just shared with you from Ephesians 1:5. Romans 8 and verse 29. He says, for whom he did foreknow. You see the word for there is a prefix. For, that means before time. From whom he did foreknow, he also what? Did predestinate. To be what? That is God's predestination, to be conformed. Now the word conformed here is not the usual conformed like, you know, like you have in Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world. You're not talking about a gradual change, like you are conforming. Mm-mm. The word conform here is from the Greek word sophomos, and it means, it's the same word used in the book of Romans 8:27, It's the same, where he was talking about Philippians 3 verse 21. When he says, we are citizens and that we shall be changed. All right, it's the same word used. He's talking about instant change. And that happened to you at salvation. We were conformed, we were changed into the image, the icon of Jesus. That means he's our prototype. We've talked about this before. The firstborn from the dead. So, God's purpose for everyone is salvation. Simple stuff. So now when you come into the body of Christ, you become a vital member of the body. Now you now have a specific assignment in the body to help the body further its corporate course of bringing more people into the body. Come on. Therefore, purpose can only be discovered in Christ. Listen, humanitarian service is good. If you are not born again, it's not purpose. Listen, you can fulfill purpose through humanitarian service, but humanitarian service is not purpose. Come on. Am I communicating something? So purpose, therefore, can only be received in Christ. It is when you are in Christ that you now know your specific assignment in the body to further the course of the body. The body that is not seeking the lost is lost in itself. So the purpose of the body is to seek the lost. So when you came into the body, you identify your specific purpose in the body to support the body to carry out its corporate purpose. Come on, if you get a job in a company and you are, maybe the company they are into making, maybe Nestle, maybe they are making children's food. All right? They are making children's food, right? They use wheat, maize, they mix them, then they biofortify it, then give it to the aggregators, or begins from even from farming, getting the farmers and all of that. If you are working with them, you might study accounting and be employed as an accountant. Your office is in the office of the account. You are there in counting money. But you are not in the farm farming the wheat. Come on. You are not the one bifortifying the wheat. Biofortification is one of the process of, finishing some of the farm produce to the end product, to the end consumers. All right? You are not even in the market selling it. But the purpose of the company to make children food, you didn't even study a course. You didn't study microbiology. You didn't study agriculture. But you just, as an accountant, you are working there. Are there accountants in the hospitals? Do they use stethoscope on people? Do they have their own office in the hospital? Are they working specifically as an accountant to help the hospital fulfill its purpose of saving lives? Are they fulfilled? Come on. But would they be an accountant in that hospital without the hospital? So where did they find their accounting responsibility? In the hospital. So purpose is found in Christ. This is the mystery of purpose demystified. Did that sink in? So, let me come again. Hallelujah. God's purpose for mankind is they should be adopted into sonship. And when they get born again, they're now in Christ, they now have a specific assignment in the body to further the corporate purpose of the body, which again is to seek the lost. Don't forget the body. What are we talking in? Which body? The body of Christ. Who is the head? And what is the intent of the Christ? Luke 19 verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Everything still boils down to what? Salvation. Salvation is a big deal in Christianity. Not just in Christianity. Salvation is everything with God. Every other thing is a lesser included in salvation. So if I think of a God who seeks to save me internally, then that same God should be ready to prosper me financially. Because financial prosperity is a lesser in the bigger. Come on. Glory to God. He should be ready to help me walk in divine health. Because a God that will give me a new body where I will have no reason to be sick anymore should be ready to heal me right now. Come on. So the lesser is always included in the bigger. I know this has ruffled some of your shoulders, some of your theology about purpose. Some of you have read several books. Brothers and sisters, there are several fingerprints in the world. Are you hearing me? There's something about you so different that nobody in the world, only Oga, calm down. There is something about you that it is about everyone in your school. Salvation. And that's your purpose. So when you came into Christ, you have come into purpose. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Let me stop there. Number three. Purpose is not synonymous to happiness. Brothers and sisters, find what you like doing. When you find what you like doing, then you start liking what you're doing. Man, it's like the fish in the water. Okay? It's not true. When the fish is in the water, he swims well. Oh, find what you like doing. That's your purpose. Mm-mm. Don't mistake talent for purpose. Purpose is received in Christ. Purpose is spiritual. Talent is natural. You don't have to be in Christ to be talented. Come on. Music is a talent. Music can be your purpose. You can fulfill purpose through music. Come on. There are unbelievers who are talented with music. You know their names. Don't mention it in church. Fella anikula kuti. Bong bong pa. Tik dong bong bong pa. Bong bong pa. Waka waka waka. All right. The guy is talented. But to what relevance is that his talent to salvation? Zero. Olodo zero. Upon zero. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why I said purpose is not determined. Like you give people questionnaire, what can you say about me? You give people paper, say something about me, then you pack everything, then you draw analysis, regression analysis. Ah, okay. 20 people said I am introvertish. 80 people say I am extrovertish. Ah, the B have it. I'm extrovertish. Okay, what are the job match, purpose match for extroverts? Preacher. Oh, I can be a preacher. I can be a mass communicator. I can be a spokesman. I can be Oga. Moses would have failed. The guy was a stammerer. Are you hearing me? Gideon was weak. God always used weak men. Are you hearing me? It is not, we don't trust in the flesh. We don't trust in natural credential. I got degree second. Shut your trap. Are you hearing me? I, Babalola, can't speak English. If he say Baba Olomi Yetimbo, even the demons in the village, they quake. Purpose is spiritual. Nothing natural about it. Naturals can only be stepping stone, platform, springboard to the purpose. The purpose. Separate these things. Understand these things. So that your walk on earth at the end of the day will not be burnt. Because only the work relevant to salvation, salvation is the yardstick. To what degree are your involvement supporting the propagation of God's plan of salvation for mankind? It is to that degree that you are working purposefully. Hallelujah. So purpose is not synonymous to happiness. Do what you're happy to do. As long as you are happy doing it, it's not true. That does not also mean that you are not happy doing purpose. As I'm preaching, sweating now, I'm happy. Oh, glory to God. I'm happy. I condition myself to be happy. Because there are times I don't feel like preaching. But you wake me up 2 a.m. and I'm like, preach! I will stand up.
faith is the substance of things hoped for. I will start preaching before I will remember that I'm awake, because I'm born to preach faith. Glory to God. Faith in Christ. Faith in the blood. Faith in the word. Faith in Christ for salvation. Faith in the doctrine. Faith. Faith. Glory to God. Salvific. Faith. Doctrina. Faith. Charismatic. Mountain moving. Demon quaking faith. I preach them all. I'm born to do it. I'm a preacher. And that's why I can never, I've said it, I've been saying it since I was young, I've been saying it since we started this church, I can never be a counselor of a local government, I can never be a governor. You can save this video and show me 40 years from now. I can never be a governor. I can never be a mayor. I can never be a president. It is demotion. I can never. So all those, you two, you become president in Jesus' name, keep your prayer. I can never. Never, never, never. I make ministers of men. It's my purpose. You can be a governor. By the way, you are governors. Come on, say loud amen. You are House of Representatives. You are. And those should be your platform to fulfill the purpose. So purpose is not just happiness. Purpose is sacrifice. Let me give you an example. Matthew 26:39. Come on, are you learning something? Are you learning anything at all? Okay, Matthew 26:39. He says, now, you know, what's the purpose of Jesus? Come on, to save, right? Come on, talk to me. To save the sinner from their sin. What is the penalty for sin? The one who was going to save people from sin, what must he do to pay the penalty for sin? Died. Okay, so that means you can say death is the destiny of Jesus. Talk to me now. How sweet is death? I mean, they were putting nail on Jesus. I was like, give it to me, man. Oh, I'm enjoying it, baby. Give it to me. Pull. I mean, 12 inches. Oh, come on, Pilate. Do it some more, Pilate. I mean, Jesus was, was Jesus enjoying it? But that's his purpose, bro. If he didn't go to the cross, he won't see the glory. The sufferings of Christ and the glory, he won't see the glory. In fact, he was enduring the cross because of the glory ahead. The Bible says, who for the joy set before him? He endured the cross. Listen, sometimes purpose is endurance. You think, look, it's endurance. I'm in this city now for 4 years plus. Kefi, where is Kefi? I came to Kefi for the first time I heard it. I never knew it existed. Leave Southwest and come to the North to preach. Who you be? Where you will send me? Come North. When I'm done with school at 23. It's 10 years now. Still preaching. Planning to go outside of the world and do baby boy life until Jesus snatched me. It's not sweet. You think when Jesus said, let this cup pass over, you think it was a cup of Nescafe? Purpose is sacrifice. Are you hearing me? Yes, sacrifice. With eternal rewards in view. Yes, glory to God. That's why the Bible says, these all died. Not having received the promised. But guess what? They were persuaded of them. They saw it from afar. Wow. Glory to God. Matthew 26:39. Jesus said, look at what Jesus said. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The word cup there is from the Greek word poterion. Poterion means fate. F-A-T-E. You know what fate is? Destiny. So he says, let this fate, let this destiny pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt. This is maturity. Jesus was able to separate between, you know, differentiate what makes him feel good from purpose. Purpose don't always make you feel good. You don't always have to feel good. You must separate feelings from purpose. Pursue purpose. Feelings will align.
Lord, I don't want to be a preacher.
If you are called a preacher, start preaching, bro. You're going to wake up one morning and you will like the preaching so bad. I woke up sometimes in the morning and I'm preaching to the air. I've seen myself preaching like Kenneth Copeland. At 84, 85, still preaching the word of faith on TV. Glory to God. Strong, healthy, hallelujah. Say amen for me. Amen. I saw Maurice Arulo preach the gospel. I'm going to do the same. I saw T.L. Losborne, my first role model in the gospel. I see him preaching, say, I, a typical Oklahoma farmer, I preach the word that works. Jesus saves. Oh, I'm giving to you for the seventh time. I'm already doing what we call mimicking. He's going to be with the Lord now, T.L. Losborne. He did it, I'll do it. Glory to God. I'm a missionary. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hudson Taylor. John G. Lake. John Knox, give me Scotland, oh God. Give me Scotland, oh God. Took Scotland for Jesus. So we are taking Gombe for Jesus. Amen. We are taking Abuja for Jesus. Amen. Nasarawa for Jesus. Amen. Angola for Jesus. Amen. Somalia for Jesus. Amen. Ghana for Jesus. Amen. Canada for Jesus. London for Jesus. Yeah. North America for Jesus. Yeah. Everywhere for Jesus. Australia. Austria. Say loud amen. Amen. Everywhere. Number four. Then I close. Oof. I still have so much to say. But I have to close now. Purpose is not your career. I think this is simple enough, right? I've said this already. Purpose is not your career, but your career can be what? A channel, a springboard. Like I said, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach, make disciples of all nations. And I told you that the word nation there means ethnos. It's where they got the Greek, the English word ethnicity, ethnic. That means a people bound together by a common descriptive parameter. So you can have nations of engineers, nations of doctors, nations of students, nations of traders. So wherever nation you are God's representative there. You are God's factory of refining men from death to life in that nation. You are the window through which people see God. In wherever you find yourself. In politics. In everywhere you find yourself. In the music industry. In the secular world. In fact, Bill Johnson says that any gospel that does not work in the secular world does not work. In fact, the statement secular job in Christianity is an oxymoron. It does not exist. Because the believer takes the kingdom to the world. And it brings the world into the kingdom. Reconcile the world to the kingdom. When I mean world, I don't mean world systems of the world. I mean world of people. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, it's not the same thing as love not the world. The same Bible that says, for God so loved the world, is also the scripture that says, love not the world and the things in it. He's talking about systems of the world. When he says, for God so loved the world, he did not love the world of trees, cars. He loved the world of what? People. So purpose is not your career. Your career can be what we call an offshoot, a springboard. So you are a lecturer, all right? You have a nation of students that you are overseeing, that you can preach the gospel to. You can preach to your fellow lecturer. That's purpose. It can be career. Don't forget where we began from. That the concept of purpose precedes the existence of a creator with an expectation from the creation. Therefore, the purposed, the creation, all right, is an offshoot of the intent of the creator. The intent of the Creator before you were created is what you now call purpose. But that intent pre-existed you. It predated you. It was in existence before you came. You are the outcome of that intent. It is that intent, the thought of God concerning you before you became you, is what you now call purpose. Therefore, purpose can only be found in God, and God can only be found in Christ, and Christ gives salvation. And when you become saved, you become a vital member of the body, then you find your purpose specifically for the body, to support the body corporately to fulfill again its corporate purpose of bringing more men into the body. That's, then the cycles keep going on that way, until the whole world is refined from death to life. Hallelujah. Example was David. I've told you this example. David was a soldier, a slinger, harpist, musician. Songs of David you see there. He wrote Psalms. PA to the president. He later became a king. But guess what? The most important thing said of David in the New Testament, referenced 60 times, were his prophetic utterances. Sit thou at my right hand. We did a teaching on that, right? We've done it twice now. 4 years ago and last year. Sit thou at my right hand till I what? Make thy enemies thy footstool. That statement was referenced by all the writers of the New Testament except James. Imagine they were gisting about David in the New Testament and they said nothing about the Goliath. Said nothing about the lion and the bear. But was it important that he killed lion? Yes. Was it important that he killed Goliath? Yes. Therefore, purpose is that one thing you must succeed at that makes every other endeavor you succeed at worthwhile. Otherwise, every other thing you succeed at will not count. The reason why you're going to school will count. The reason why you're making money will count is because at the end of the day, you have made salvation your epicenter. They are now supporting, they are supporting the plan of God for mankind. So purpose is that one thing. You cannot be succeeding in other area and lack in fulfilling or engineering the plan of God for mankind. You could be successful to men in their face, but you are a failure to God. May you not be a failure in Jesus' name. There are failed politicians who just bear Christian names. Never won no soul. There are failed engineers who appear successful to the world. That's why we're talking about faith book of records. God has a yardstick different from world system of yardstick of measuring success. So David made it to God's faith book of record for what he said. He preached and prophesied salvation. And his deeds therefore now counted, because at the end of the day they supported that which he said concerning the coming of the Savior. First Timothy 2. I close. First Timothy 2 and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who will have how many men? How many men? We have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. All men saved. All men saved. All men saved. Somebody say all men. Say it again. This is the will of God. So, when you came into Christ, you have come into purpose. And because you are now in purpose, you now function specifically in the body to corporately support the body fulfill its corporate purpose. Which again is to do what? To bring more men where again? Into the body. Until the body keeps getting edified. The word edify means to build upon. It's like laying more blocks. So, Apostle Paul uses the terminology, all right? He says that we are, he says Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. That means everybody, each one person, she's bringing two blocks. Naturally, just metaphorically, when you bring a soul, that's one block. The house is getting built. It says we are built together, the habitation of God. Come on. That's what the Bible is saying. Let me give it to you, Ephesians 2 and verse 18. Come on, give it to me fast. I have 3 more minutes. Ephesians 2 and verse 18. Come on. For through him we both have access, wow, by one spirit unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and fellow foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of what? The household of God. And are built what? Upon the foundation of what? The foundation of the apostles and the prophets here is talking about the doctrine. New Testament teachings, the exegesis of the old scrolls, properly explained. Jesus himself being what? The chief cornerstone. So we are stones individually, building upon, making the whole habitation of God. So he uses this figure of speech to explain what happens. Hallelujah. So never should the believer be caught asking, what is the will of God for my life? Listen, generically, God has a will, salvation and their establishment in the truth. So you are living in the will of God to the degree in which that which you are involved with on a daily basis supports, propagates the establishment of souls in the knowledge of the truth. Is that simple enough? Yes, were you blessed? Lift your hands towards heaven and speak in other tongues out loud, everybody.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.